Hi, welcome. My name is Jennifer Hepton, and I am the founder and owner of Loss in Transition. I am an intuitive life and loss coach, and I support women who are finding their way through loss and trying to live a life after loss. And so I support women in finding their empowerment, finding their authentic self, and tapping into their soul's power. So if you have experienced a loss of a loved one, a pregnancy loss, infertility, loss of health, and are ready to rise up, feel empowered again in your life, I can help. So I'm here today because I have my husband, Nick Hepton, here with me. And because it's Father's Day coming up, I thought it would be a great idea for us just to have a casual conversation about his journey after losing our twins and our daughter, Loie, and also his view and maybe some advice about how to approach Father's Day and how, as wives, girlfriends, partners, how we can support our partners through Father's Day as well. So first, here is Nicholas Hepton. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
So we've got a couple of questions. So this audio or podcast will definitely be maybe about 15 minutes. So it won't be too long, but it will definitely be, a lot of insights of what we've gone through. So, Nick, everyone's kind of heard about my journey of loss. Would you like to share how you went through this journey and how you felt and your emotions?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly will try to. Just kind of being the other set of eyes in what we've been through. And we've been through a lot, and it's been a lot of years that we've been kind of trying to chase down this dream of being parents. There's just been many, many instances where it hasn't gone our way, and each instance we've learned a little bit and grown a little bit. But it really kind of comes down to two big instances for me. So we were pregnant with identical twins. I think probably all of your followers would know that. It wasn't a super easy pregnancy, you know. It went it started to not go our way or go downhill from about week 9 or so, I think, if I can remember. We were in a bit of rough shape, right, with trying to hold on and trying to hold on, and of course, like Dr. Google, we can go and get the information for ourselves, but it never really looked like things were going to pan out for us, or we were going to have the happy and the miracle ending. But the one thing I do remember is that maybe that clouded how we dealt with the ending of things. And so when we finally lost the twins, for sure now, my biggest regret is that we just moved on too quickly. We had no experience of this, and so therefore we wanted to protect ourselves from things now that I would go back and do so differently again, and we wanted to move out of and transition out of loss and grief and trauma as quickly as we possibly could, because it's uncomfortable to be there. I would advise and I would encourage and I would implore anyone that goes into that situation, like husband or wife, to really, really, really take the time to settle in that space and spend time with your children that you lose, or your child that you lose, because you never get it back. And as we talk through Loie a little bit, you know, I'll share my fondness of that recollection. But that's the big one. Like, you just move on too quickly. And you and I have this discussion often that grief is a really tough place to be, and not many people want to spend their time like telling people they're grieving or thinking about themselves being in grief. Like, you think about the process of how do you get out of grief, and I just fundamentally would never ever try and move that more quickly than it needs to go. And I think I've learned a lot about that from you, right? Is that grief isn't traditional in terms of how it's a process, and that you can, right, you can allow yourself to stay in places that are uncomfortable, even if it's uncomfortable for you and for others. Like, it doesn't really matter about others, right? All that really counts is you and your significant other. And then with Lowy, obviously, I think the most difficult thing with Lowy is I never saw it coming. So for all the losses that we'd had and all the pregnancies that didn't work out and, you know, all the early losses that we had, it was almost, from my perspective, it was almost like, okay, this just hasn't worked out. Let's go again. And then, you know, as a guy, like, you know, and someone who I wouldn't say works in an industry, but as a guy, like, I tend to look at the odds, I research the stats, and, you know, I know what the possibilities are, I know what the risks are, et cetera, et cetera. And we were meant to be fine, right? And you go in, I remember that we went to the hospital thinking that this was it, right? It was game on, and then you get crushed with the news that it's not going to be the way you envisaged it being. And so a couple of things come to mind from that, right? That every time that you've been through pain, like, I think as a guy, as a husband, as a man in the couple, I've wanted to be able to take the physical pain away. And so I remember, like, a lot of my in the moment discomfort was that you were uncomfortable. And it's like, there's no other word, like, it's crushing, right? You have to stare down some of the darkest places that you would ever imagine going to. While at the same time having to have joy, right? For the opportunity that we had to spend with Lowy. So in complete contrast to the twins, like, I mean, I'll always say that it has been the most difficult 12 months, but it's been the most kind of desperate and dark place when we were in the hospital. But on reflection, those were kind of two of the greatest days of my life.
And then having
that opportunity to spend time with her and not trying to kind of get out of there or rush out of there and move on in the way that we did with the twins.
Yeah, and just to let everybody know, if you don't know our story, we went into the hospital expecting to deliver a healthy baby girl. And when we walked in and did the ultrasound, they couldn't find the heartbeat. They couldn't find Lowy's heartbeat. And it took at least, three or four nurses and doctors to come in and check on us. And when they finally had the resident doctor come in and tell us, we were just in pure shock, just pure, pure shock. But a lot of credit goes to the University of Washington delivery ward and the nurses and the doctors there, because they gave us space and they gave us time to spend with Lowy. So we had about, 3 days with Lowy to help us in that mourning process, which we didn't have with our twins. So the twins were very clinical, very matter of fact. And as Nick was saying, like, definitely there's regrets and things that we've learned from that process. And so we are grateful for that in the way that we were able to learn from that and be able to spend those 3 days with our daughter. And so that's what Nick was referring to when he said we were able to spend some time with her in mourning and creating memories around that. Anything else?
No, I mean, I don't think there's anything else. I remember it so clearly because it was, I remember both so clearly. It's the physical pain. It's the fact that I have to watch you go through this that kind of hurts me the most. I remember with Lowy, I've never been in shock before and I've never been in shock since, but for sure I could tell you that I know what it's like to feel like you're in shock, because I melted pretty much immediately. And, you know, I had to watch you get your shit together, and get on with getting on, because that's physically what you had to do. But I remember for the first kind of 3 or 4 hours of it, I had just a ridiculous migraine, but I just remember my teeth hurt, like my teeth. It was like I'd been to the dentist and had a root canal on every single tooth in my mouth, and I just couldn't move. And it got to the point where I was just so shocked. I just remember going to the bathroom and, like, physically being sick, like, just kind of vomiting or puking everywhere, and that was kind of the start of me coming out of it. And then it was not too bad until you delivered Lowy, and, you know, that's I think when kind of your the real crushing emotions start to take hold. But at the same time, then you get to hold her and sleep with her and dress her and all that kind of stuff. And those are really precious memories, right, that I wish we had with the twins, because they were, we could have had those with the twins, but we didn't get to.
No, we didn't. And we hold the twins' memory in a different way, and you know, it's still in a healing way as well. So it's really interesting, the different perspectives with me going through that and Nick going through that, because he was, you know, observing it and having this incredible need to want to fix it and be strong for me, but at the same time, you know, mourning his daughter and what could have been and all the memories, and also trying to create the new memories at the same time. It was just so much emotion, and the shock is real. The shock is really, really real. Thank you for sharing that.
That's right.
So now that you've shared your journey, and knowing that Father's Day is this weekend, what emotions do you have or thoughts that you have about, you know, your Father's Day coming up?
Well, for sure this year, the first thing I've noted, I don't know if Father's Day is going to trigger me. And when you asked me to do this, I started thinking about it a little bit more. So the things that bother me, just generally, or trigger me, is not necessarily seeing a newborn baby, because or something like that, because I look at that and of course I think about what could have been. But it's like, for me, it's things like walking past like baby stores and, you know, seeing children's toys and clothes and whatnot. But when you asked me about doing this, the first thing that kind of popped into my mind is that Father's Day really isn't as big of a deal as Mother's Day is, right? Sorry, I stumbled there. But Father's Day isn't, it's not as publicised, it's not commercialised, it doesn't seem as celebrated as Mother's Day. And I never thought about it that way. I never thought about any difference between the two, but it just doesn't seem to be as widely celebrated and commercialized, I don't think. And I don't know, like I want to stay away from saying things like most men or I'm like most men, because I think everyone deals with their things in completely different ways. But mm-hmm. But there's one thing I think is really difficult for everyone, regardless of, you know, what gender you are, or what cultural or ethnic or national background you come from. And I was talking to a friend at work about just how difficult holding space is, right? So
mm-hmm.
So if it is husbands listening to this, you know, like holding space is being comfortable being uncomfortable. I mean, that's mm-hmm. That's as clearly as I can put it, right? And there's times even recently where, you know, you've been having a bad moment or day, and the urge to want to engage you and ask if you're okay and reassure you, because really what I'm only trying to do is reassure myself. And so I say that because, like, what I think the question you can ask me is, what am I going to do on Father's Day? Like, I don't know is the answer, but if I did nothing, that would just be okay. Mm-hmm. And if I were to ever say, like most men, I think for the mothers out there that are going to have fathers that are going to be grieving, I think it's not one of those things where if your husband sits on the couch watching the World Cup or goes to the pub or does nothing or acts like it doesn't exist, right? That's just okay. Mm-hmm. But especially if they're being quiet and reflective, the thing that they probably don't want is for their partner to assume that that everything's okay, and so therefore the day should carry on as normal, because that's not going to be the case. And if they're sitting there and they're watching TV, they're not bored, right? And they're not necessarily shoving it down. It's just the way that they're going to deal with it. And so actually being present without being intrusive, I think, is critically important for partners to realise that they can be supportive in a way where they could just sit with someone for minutes or hours, if necessary, and do nothing. And that can be incredibly comforting and consoling and supportive without having to speak and vocalize and ask if you're okay, because fundamentally what that does is it just, I think for me, it would just kind of piss me off. Like, I'm okay. I just need to be able to do what I need to be able to do. And if there's something that we want to do together, then let's just do it. Let's talk about it. Like, let's not bring more attention or more focus to the day or to what the activities are or not that we decide to do. And a check-in every now and again is okay, but there comes a point where you're checking in for the sake of yourself, not for the sake of them. And I'm still super guilty of that, but there's times where I really, really try to be mindful of the fact that am I asking, or am I touching you, or am I engaging you? Because really what I want to do is I want to make sure that I feel okay about it, or, you know, I want to gratify myself, and that's just probably the day not to be like that.
So, like, for instance, for me, like, being aware of how much I'm checking in, being aware of how much, you know, comfort I'm trying to give you, and kind of understanding the intention behind it. So is it for me, for reassurance for myself, or is the intention, you know, just kind of checking in to see where you're at? And I know there's a lot of fathers out there that will try to keep busy on Father's Day. They'll create events, they'll create this sense of busyness because they don't want to be feeling this grief. And I mean, in my opinion, I think you do what you need to do to survive. And as your partner, it's almost like you said earlier, it's about holding space in whatever you choose to do on that day, and trusting. It's a lot of trust, knowing that whatever I do and whatever we do is enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is that for me, especially, like, because I pragmatically and rationally work through my emotions and my thoughts and my feelings, I could see it changing a lot too, right? Mm. And I think that's important to mention. So I think that there could be moments where I don't do anything, and like I'm mute, probably with my phone and the TV and maybe even a cheeky little iPad phone in there, doing all three but nothing at once. But then that might not last all day, and I might be totally fine in the afternoon. And I don't think that should be a surprise to people, or people should read into that in a way of, oh, that's strange, something's changed, or that's strange. It's just, I think for me, and again, I don't want to say like I'm like all men, but or like most men, but for me, it will be my ability to real time pragmatically and contextually just process my emotions, and then if I'm ready for, you know, public or dinner or movies or whatever it might be, then I'm ready for it. And genuinely, I'm not doing that to make you feel better. I'm not doing that to make myself feel better. It's just because it's what feels good.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the time to like kind of be processing it in a way.
Yeah, well, I think, I think one of the differences is that when you have a bad day, like, generally your whole day is bad. You know, and or a good part of the day. Whereas for me, I can have days where my whole day is bad, for sure. But I can have days where I'm okay in the evening, and I don't know what's changed, and I don't know what's shifted. But I don't say that because that's the difference between you and me. I just say that because I think that your journey on a day like Mother's Day, or especially because we're talking about Father's Day, could look like 4 days wrapped into one.
Can you clarify that?
Yeah, so like well, yeah, for sure. Like, so
is that like the difference between how you process grief and how I process grief?
Maybe. But I think what I mean is, because I could see your face looking a bit confused. So I think what it means is it's okay for the day to look different. So yes, it might be that, okay, I'm deeply introverted and insular in the morning because that is really hitting me. But as I work through that, it might get to the point where I actually do want to go for dinner, and I'm okay seeing other families celebrate Father's Day. And it might be that I want to go to the pub or for a walk or for movies. Like, the day could look like, and that's what I mean by like 4 days into one, because I think you're gonna, it's inevitable that people are gonna be emotional and they might have to spend their entire day dealing with that.
Mm.
But they might get to the point where it's okay for them to go and do things that are just completely normalized. Mm. And I guess the message I would like people to hear, especially partners, is that's cool because they're not, like, if I think about myself, I'm not gonna do that because I feel like that's what you want to do. I'm going to do that because I feel completely ready to be able to go and do and move through the different stages of the day.
Yeah, so I hear you. Like, it's honoring where you are and not having any expectation for that day either. And it's really comes down, and this is kind of our mantra, you know, it's like one day at a time, one moment at a time, one emotion at a time as well. So I guess, like, the kind of overarching theme or overarching kind of share here is that, you know, we've experienced the same grief, but we definitely are very individualistic in our grieving process. And sometimes it can be really challenging and difficult, you know, because you love that other person so very, very much and you want to be able to take care of them. But I think, you know, when Father's Day comes and you know, I think what we believe in is that holding of space that you talked about before. And also knowing that for men and for women, we don't need to be strong all the time.
No, I don't think you need to be strong at all. Like,
yeah, but some men think they need to be strong.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I've been there, and there are days when I think I can be strong, of course, and I am strong, and it's cool, and I think that that's just part of the DNA of the way I'm built, particularly, you know, is that it's provision and provider and move through, and again, you know, like being sad and being upset, you're just programmed to think that that's a shitty place to be. It's an uncomfortable place to be. So how the hell do I get myself out of being grieving?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not talking, like, yes, I'm talking about in the day, but as a elongated process, you know, but we haven't mentioned this and I don't want to get too distracted on this, but, you know, my mum passed away 2 weeks before ago, 2 weeks before we lost Loie.
Mm-hmm.
And in thinking about how the questions you were going to ask me, I know I haven't even dealt with that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I know at some point I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to go back and get to grips with that. And I don't know why that is. I mean, it's, I don't want to kind of derail the conversation, but it's just the point of, you don't have to be, you know, the strength and all the time. You do, and sometimes you do. Sometimes you're strong for me, and I definitely appreciate that. But you just don't have to be this kind of this person that you expect yourself to be or that society expects you to be, because it's okay for your day to be a complete wipeout, right? Mm. And it's okay for you to go to work and for someone to come to you with something so trivial to you but so important to them that you try to balance the, you know, the contextual importance of, like, what are you really asking? I just lost my kid. Like, I really don't give a shit about your insignificance of the problem, but that's not the right way to be either, right? So I think the most important thing is that you are true to yourself, and if that means escaping from the situation, if that means spending time in your thoughts and dealing with it, if that means speaking to your partner or your colleagues or your friends or your family, right, just do it, because if you don't, you will eventually have to go back and make peace with that period of time in your life and deal with the things that you didn't deal with then. You know, it's only through losing Loie and through the journey that you've been on and through what I learned for you that I'm completely confident that that's the case. And so instead of thinking about it from the negative point of view of, oh, you know, I've got to go back and deal with the fact I lost my mum, I have more tools now. I'm better equipped, right? I can talk about it more than I ever would have been had I just lost my mum in isolation or had Loie just gone in isolation, right? So all of the time it's just being cool with the fact that it's not, you're not always going to be okay.
Yeah, and I think that's really, really important that it's okay not to be okay, and it's okay to have your moments, and it's, you know, grief is a messy, messy, messy thing, and we talk about how grief is like an ocean, and we're bobbing around in this ocean, and sometimes the waves are totally fine, and other times the waves are gigantic tsunamis, and they just wipe you out. And yeah, it's creating that kind of tool and knowing and the awareness that you were talking about. So I am very, very appreciative of you sharing this with us. And you know that I love you very, very much, and I appreciate you and
yeah,
appreciate
thank you.
Everything that Likewise. You do. So we talked about a lot. We talked about, you know, your story, your journey, you know, your feelings as we approach Father's Day, you know, and thank you for the advice and sharing your stories and your thoughts about Father's Day. But also, we also talked a bit about the grief process as you see it, you know, regarding Loie, the twins, and your mom as well. So I really, really appreciate everything that you've shared here, because I know sometimes it's not easy to share, but I know that I appreciate you, and I know that people listening will definitely appreciate this as well. So yeah, thank you.
Cool. No problem.
Thank you, everybody. If you have any questions or comments or would like to get in touch with myself or even Nick, you can definitely email me at jen@lostintransition.com or visit my website at lostintransition.com. Thank you very much, and wishing you much love and strength as you move into your Father's Day. Bye.